Okay, we're recording. The title of this message is The Unknown God. I kind of scared Candy a little bit saying I couldn't read it. That's not really true. You know, it's I can see you, and I can even see your faces, and I can see your things, but I can't tell exactly, you know, I don't really know if you're looking at me or not. You know? But anyway, did you ever have a cataract surgery?
No, but I have to eventually. I'm starting to get
cataracts. Yeah. Well, mine is decreased pretty fast in the last few months. In 1 Corinthians, the title of this message is The Unknown God. The Unknown God. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, now this is previews, it says, truth rejoices, or love rejoices in the truth. You know how it says in 1 Corinthians, or in Ephesians 4, I think it's 13 or 14, it says, speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. What is there? What is the characteristic of love? God so loved the world that He sends His only begotten Son, who tells us, He says, I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. You know what truth is? It is an object of love. If you love people, you tell them the truth. You don't lie to them. You follow me? Now, we can have love and not be telling the truth and think that say we love some people so much that we're going to feed them our doctrine. I mean, I've done that, haven't you? That's who we are. Because I was convinced that what I believed was the truth. In Ephesians, when we are told that unless or except we become converted and become as little children, Jesus said that God reveals truth to babes and sucklings and hides the truth from the wise and the prudent. And I wonder if all men must start over and go through Holy Spirit K1, Holy Spirit K2, Holy Spirit K3. You know what I'm saying? I think that what we have to do, and that's what happened to me, and I think that was the proper procedure, is what happened is I came to the place that I said what I have to do, and God let me know this, was to divorce myself, separate myself, come out from among them and be ye separate. From what? How about anything that's wrong? Well, how about anything that might be wrong? How about anything that you're not sure is right? Do you follow what I'm saying? And start over. Except men be converted, and if you're converted, that means you are totally, you're changed from one thing to another. That's what conversion means. And kindergartners, see, that's what God wants us to become. Unless you become as little children. God hides things from the wise and the prudent and reveals them to babes and sucklings. For such it seems good in His sight? Does that give us a different perspective or not? Does that change the community chapel method of having enticing words of men's wisdom from the wise, the smart, and the intelligent? And why? Because that seems good in His sight. See, we've had a wrong approach to this thing. You know, I have been in, I want to say, thousands of Bible studies. I mean, I've been in Bible studies for over 50 years. I would guess that I've probably been in 1,000. If you took 50 weeks times 50, that's what does that come out to? 50 times 50, Charlie? 2,500?
2,500, yeah.
So I've probably been in 1,000 Bible studies. And I mean, I haven't been in a Bible study every week. But I'm not sure how many of these Bible studies the Holy Spirit was also at. How do you like that one? I'm not sure he was invited to all of them. The Bible study out of the letter of the Bible, taught by enticing words of men's wisdom, will do more damage than good. It's not helping us. If the Bible study is wrong, are we being helped by a Bible study? Don't answer it. I'm just asking a question. And what about the Bible studies that downplay or teach against the truths of God's Word? And there are lots of Bible studies that teach against God's truths. They're going on right now. This is after 7 o'clock, and they're having Bible studies and services in churches all over the world. And what about Bible studies that downplay that which God designed so as to give power to the church? What is the Bible study is telling us that tongues are not for today. But that's the power source, the evidence of the power of God coming upon a church. Are you following me? Is that a good Bible study? And as a result of it, men resist the power of God's word with the speaking in tongues. They resist it. Remember what Stephen said? He said, "You are like your fathers. You do always resist the Holy Spirit." Well, is that not resisting the Holy Spirit if you're speaking against the baptism of the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues? Is that not resisting the Holy Spirit? I mean, right, first class? I mean, are these really Bible studies since they resist God's truth? Or are they maybe anti-Bible studies that slowly talk the Holy Spirit power out of men's lives, see? Two scriptures. In Mark 4:24, remember these. Mark 4:24, it says, "Take heed what you hear." And then in Luke 8:18, it says, "Take heed how you hear." Take heed what you hear. And here it says, "Take heed how you hear." You know, where you hear it. And from who? When I was in some fundamental Bible studies, and I heard things anti-receiving the Holy Spirit. Although, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was taken totally unaware. I just walked right into the thing, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and walked out, and very fortunate, because the mercy of God was on me. But I've been in Bible studies that were anti speaking in tongues and anti. I've been in them. I don't remember any of them, but I've been there. Now, whenever men are programmed, they can read the Bible all they want, but they will never actually hear what it says. And that is the point I was making. If you are programmed, see, I will bring a famine for the hearing of the word. Okay? In Amos 8:11, "The days will come," God says, "I will bring a famine for the hearing of God's word." And so that's what that's the thing we don't understand. You can read it and you can hear it, but you don't hear it. That's why it says in Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And then I finally put it together. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Because we don't hear that unless God gives us ears to hear it. Because, when you have been pre-programmed, you can't get past what you've been pre-programmed with. You read the Bible and everything you read is associated with what you believe as a church. When I was supernaturally told that I could only find God in a right relationship with His Word, little did I ever realize how far from that word me and everyone it really was. I never realized it. I have been so far separated, even through community chapel, and I hate to say it, any chapelites that are listening, if you are listening, but I hate to say it, but you know what? We were separated by a real trick of the enemy. We were learning the intellectual approach to the Bible and what it does. It takes away from the working of the Holy Spirit. You had never realized that this word was a sword of the Spirit, and it requires the Holy Spirit to reveal God's word. The natural man reading the eternal word of spirit nature will never ever understand it. The natural, it says the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, and therefore it is totally impossible for the natural man, unconverted man, to even stand a chance. And unless men remain in a childlike converted state, and that's the thing. So unless you become converted and become as little children, how long do you stay as little children? It doesn't say you grow out of it, does it? We have to remain there. We have to remain as little children. And so, anyway, the unknown God. And we know him, don't we? I tell you what, I want to. But God's ways are past finding out. What are my chances? How am I going to do that? And then I read that scripture. In, I don't know if it's in the message or not, but as you get it twice here, then in John 1:18, where it says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son. That's man who is in the bosom of the Father. We have a man in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. And the thing that has happened is the devil has talked us out of the man Christ Jesus. So that we have a whole, especially the church. There's a lot of people that don't believe in this, but the church believes that we have a deity figure. And so we have replaced the lamb sacrifice. We have replaced the things that are, we can't see it. Because we have a false image built into us. In Psalms 14:1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And in verse 2, it says, the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and seek after God. That's the second verse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the Lord God looks down from heaven to see if there is any that understand and seek after him. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, it tells us, great is the mystery of godliness. And I'd like to say, and anything associated with the makeup of God is a great mystery. We have no chance of understanding it. And I don't care how great the teacher is, there's no teacher that can reveal God to us. Nobody can do it. It is left in the hands of God himself. See, first off, 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that the natural man does not receive the things of God's Spirit for their foolishness. How many people today, right at this moment, are in churches and they see the truth as foolishness? How many people are there? Well, I don't know. I can't even come up with a percentage. But there are lots of people that are seeing the things, the truth of God, as foolishness. We have Bible colleges that teach in the Bible colleges against receiving the Holy Spirit because it's not for today. We have a Pentecostal Bible college that I'm very familiar with that has, because they're afraid of having wrong things happen through tongues and interpretation and the gift ministries, they have poo-pooed the gift ministries. A oneness Bible college. I'm very familiar with it. So that the people come out are not even concerned about speaking in tongues. It's a gift. This is a power source of God. Do we have a problem? I just kind of, joked about it and looked at it and I thought, And the Bible says that man, the natural man can never know them because they're spiritually discerned or revealed as such. I'd like to make a judgmental observation and say that the vast majority of today's churchgoers fit into the 2 Timothy 3:5 church category, having a form of godliness and denying the power. Where's the power? Where's it in this church? I'm not making us any exception. I'm saying, where's the power? The thing is, we have not come into a right relationship. The Bible says, and they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Who are those guys? Well, we see the ones on TV that have lots of followers, and every time I turn around, here's another a case of somebody, and I don't know who, but I mean, anybody in particular at this moment, but somebody has been, they've observed them, and they've watched their ministry on TV, and they find out that it's a scam. How long was I with some of these programs and very taken in by what was going on, only to find out that the thing was a scam? And so anyway, to try and know the one true God, now listen to me, through either the Trinity or today's existing Jesus-only oneness doctrine causes such confusion so that people are totally left in the dark. See, the devil made God's only begotten Son, or the 1 Timothy 2:5 man Christ Jesus, into a deity. Within the minds of millions, until the scriptures themselves make no sense to people. See, this is the thing. When you read the scriptures and they don't make sense because your doctrine won't let them make sense. Are you following me? The doctrines are of such nature because the devil has got to see he's a deceiver, a mastermind. My son Jeff, and he is a son to me, said something like, how can people read the scriptures and get anything except the man Christ Jesus out of them? That's what he said one day. I thought, you know what? You have to have a right relationship or be developing a right relationship in order to see that. My answer to Jeff is, because God has given you eyes to see with Jeff and ears that are hearing God's truth. As such, I believe that the true identity of God's only begotten Son, and that we believe on him accurately, is the foundation for eternal life. I think that we have gotten to a place we are under God's mercy and grace, and that's about the extent of what we have. The church system is not working under any truth aspect of it. Remember when, at the time of Jesus, it says, and they that sat in darkness have seen a great light? The great light is the Word of God. God has carefully kept that thing intact. And the basic main issues are the same in all translations. And so only God can do that. And people say, well, it's strange. It's really something how men did this and whatever else. And who was it today? Was it Pablo? Somebody said that there's no way you can read this Bible and think that men put it together. Pablo, I think. Well, anyway, you have to have something happen to you in order to see that. Now, I don't think that we can obey John 17:3. Where am I? Yeah. We can obey John 17:3. It says, eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, which puts our eternal life in jeopardy. Unless we know, we start, you know, we got to listen to the scripture. But anyway, I don't know that we can have eternal life until Jesus Christ becomes a man. How do you believe on something that's false? Are you following me? So anyway, if we see him in a wrong way, Now, God is having mercy. God looked on the hearts. And not everything that I am saying here is the law, and that's the way it is. Because, we have this scripture setting in the second chapter of Romans, where it says that God, those that do by nature the things that are contained in the law, have a law written within themselves. So God looks upon people. There are people all over the world that are just as much His as hopefully we are, you know. But anyway, see, the Samaritans had a dilemma. And this Samaritan woman, she was talking to Jesus, she said, We worship God in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is a place to worship Him. And Jesus, He said, you worship not what. And you know what my thoughts are? Okay, we're worshiping God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Something that don't exist. Or we're worshiping Jesus as His own Father. That don't exist. Is that worshiping in spirit and in truth? You see the dilemma? However, there's a lot of people that are in the churches that read their Bibles that don't believe that God is, that Jesus is a God. So what we have is we have a church within a church. Haven't we heard about that for years? And here's my feelings. I think God is going to raise up a people and maybe we'll be part of it. And when they stand on their feet and people see them, they're going to run and they're going to say, yeah, that's what we believe. That's who we are. Give us some more information. And that's when you get your chance. But anyway, you worship not what. And so today some say one thing and some say something else. And at an early age in my Christian life, I tried to worship a trinity of deities. I can remember that. And I can remember the dilemma. And I prayed by the clock, by my watch. I prayed to 10 minutes to God the Father. I prayed for 10 minutes to God the Son. And I prayed for 10 minutes to God the Holy Spirit. How much truth did I have in there, Charlie? Something that never did nor ever will exist. And yet, literally millions today try to worship an imaginary concept. An image. Isn't it imaginary? Isn't that an image? But does it really care? Does God really care? As long as men, quote, worship Him. Does God really care? And you know what? That's man's conclusion. They said, well, God doesn't really care. I had somebody tell me that. As long as we worship Him, big deal. And I'm saying, but it says that God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. Does it matter? Well, in 1 John 4:24, in 23 and 24, we're told that true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. For such are those that the Father seek for to worship Him. So does it matter? And so if something as vital as the true identity of the Father and the Son are muddied, if we have a false image of God and the Son, do we have a problem? And of course the answer is, of course we have a problem. Yes, we have a problem. But if you and I are beginning to see it, blessed are we above most women. Anyway, that's a kind of taken from the Catholic thing here. Daniel prophesied and said, those who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But what if men don't know God? You know what? If we're not strong and doing exploits, that tells me that we probably don't know God. Or we would be. He didn't say they might. He said they will. And so, but if, what if we're confused by theories that entered the picture several hundred years after Christ, And the Trinity came in 200 or 300 years after, and thousands of people are deceived by an unscriptural addition that Galatians 1, 8, and 9 says sets men on a course for a curse. If an angel from heaven came down and changed what had been taught by Christ, let him be accursed. And so, but men don't want it, people don't want to hear that. Well, it's neither now or on the day of judgment. And you know what? I'm getting old enough, so I don't care. But you guys might. You're younger. So anyway, if I can stand on my feet, or if one of you would be so kind as to keep me on my feet. See, as has happened over and over and over since God created man, God has kept raising up prophets who saw the will and the plan of God more important than the feelings of men. Is anybody here in that arena yet, or in that category yet? We're getting there. And so they preached to men the truth that God told them to preach, and for the most part, men rejected what God spoke to the fathers through those prophets. However, some listened. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And so, as impossible as it may seem, the truth of the Godhead must be preached, even though the vast majority of churchgoers will reject it. But at this point, fortunately, we have a free society. How much longer Hillary will let us have it, I don't know. However, to as many as will receive the Bible as... Okay, are you listening? To as many as will receive the Bible as the real Word of God through Christ, God will open their hearts to rise above church creeds and traditions and receive a love for the truth from God's Word. And to those who do, God will give them the power to become the true sons of God. Now, I have changed that, but I didn't change anything. To as many, as will receive the Bible as the real Word of God through Christ. Is it the real Word of God, or do we have another? John the Baptist? Are you the real one we're looking for, or is there another? Is this the Bible, or is there another Bible? What do you think, Pablo? I told him today, I said, Pablo, to my outlook, and right or wrong, I could be wrong, but as far as I'm concerned, Pablo could be named Brian. I think he's the Brian that came back that Joanne and I were looking. What are the chances coming from a foreign country and to grab a hold of the Bible and to be saying what you are hearing him say? Is he accurate in everything? Oh, not a chance. Neither am I. But I am hearing things, and I told him today, I said, I would like to think that if Brian was still alive, that I would hear him saying these things. I'd like to think that. And anyway, he assured me that if he were, he probably would be, But anyway, we do not have even one verse of scriptures that tells us that Jesus is anything other than a man. We don't even have one verse. We can make verses say that, but I tell you what, you got to do some tall things, some big things to make them say it. And yet the devil, as he usually does, has changed this vital truth within the minds of thousands until men think that the truth is that they will think that the truth is false doctrine. If you stand up and say, Jesus is a man, guess what? That's false doctrine. You should be killed, And so even though the only begotten Son was and is and always will be a man, that vital salvation, and you know that is a vital salvation truth, is intentionally twisted by the devil so as to destroy the souls of men. And remind me of what we're, you know, afterwards, something I want to talk about. Because this is so well supported by, you know, the oneness, or the Jesus being a man, is so well supported by God's holy and eternal word. I began to see what this means to God. See, God can do whatsoever he wants. And as such, his Son could have been made into a God, but not an equal ruling God. Not equal to God himself. How does something that is made become equal to that which made it? And, you know, it pleased God to bring forth a son like that was like the first Adam. And so if God does something in a certain way, he does not allow man to change it. God brought forth a man. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Don't change him into something else. And so in 1 John 4, John says every spirit confesses that he is, that this Jesus came in the flesh. Is, you know what? And so then we miss it. If he came in the flesh, then did he go through some osmosis, you know, thing and be changed into something else? Now, like I said, in 1 Corinthians 13:6, it tells us that love rejoices in truth. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, it tells us that in order to be saved, we have to receive a love for the truth. Because they did not receive a love for the truth, that they might be saved. Does that tell us that in order to be saved, you need a love for the truth? Does that do any fancy, do I have to do any fancy twisting and whatever to make it say that? That's what it says. Yeah, and so it is becoming quite obvious that a love for the truth is greater than hanging on to any doctrine. You know what the biggest problem is? We think we're a lot smarter than we really are. And we're competing with the intelligence of the Creator. Yeah. Jesus seemed to imply that all of the Jewish leaders were full of the devil's doctrine. I mean, he said, you are of your father the devil. Now tell me, this plainly, is that not saying you are full of the devil's doctrine? If the devil, your father is a devil, would you be full of his doctrine? Is that what he would be implying? And so, however, all men are pretty much the same. They had been part of false things for so long and were so well taught so that they resisted the Holy Spirit whenever he would bring God's truth to them. Is that not what happened? So are we going to sneak out of this thing any better off? And so anyway, Stephen tried to tell the Jews that were stoning him. And as such, what were they actually doing, the ones that stoned Stephen? And I'm thinking that, you know what, I think Stephen's testimony, and somehow it's recorded that he looked into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And I'm wondering if maybe Paul isn't the one that recorded that and remembered it, you know, because he heard that. He was right there. He was one of them that they laid their coats at his feet. They were resisting the love for God's truth. Is that not the ongoing story of natural man? And so the revelation of who Christ actually is within the scriptures is a revelation of truth that men need to know in order to serve God accurately. Are you understanding what I'm saying? the revelation of who Jesus actually is. See, if we believe on the Son of God, what is eternal life? That they would believe on the Son of God. The real Son of God or a phony one? Which one do we believe on? Do we believe that God raised up the man Christ Jesus? And that he made him a mediator forever, a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. He wasn't even of the proper lineage. The Bible says that. Do we go by what the Bible says, or do we go by what the church has concluded? See? And without the truth element, everything within God's plan gets fuzzy and hard to relate to. Across areas of deception like this is a warfare area of the enemy. And the souls of men are the object of his hatred. And that is why 1 John 4:3 tells us that the Antichrist is sent out to take away the humanity of Christ. Is that not what has happened? Every spirit that does not confess that he came in the flesh is not from God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist came to teach a wrong doctrine. See, the devil hates God's real people. And whenever men humble themselves and allow God to convert them so that they willingly receive a love for God's truth, and they are willing to proclaim God's word as the truth and are willing to go by it, they immediately move to the front lines of the battle against the enemy. That's not a good place to be, is it? No. Who wants to be on the front lines? Well, you know what? It helps. Age helps. And those who love their inherited doctrines more than the truth within God's word, in deceived ignorance, will resist the Holy Spirit and fight against God's real people. Do you know that down through the ages, one of the worst persecutions has always been about people that got the revelation that Jesus is a man? They killed them by the thousands. Is that encouraging? And so, your friends or even your family might stand against what God reveals you to be the truth, but here's where the real Christians stand up and proclaim truth, no matter who does or does not like it. I don't want to be an enemy of men. I would rather be an enemy of men than an enemy of God. Mm-hmm. If I have a choice, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's but you know what that takes? That takes faith. We have to begin to realize that if you're going to stand with God, you might not stand with all men. And I have a strange feeling that all men will be asked on the day of last day of great day, what did you do with my eternal word that I carefully set up for you to have? What are you going to do with it? What did you do with it? And the revelation that a lot of people don't have, which came to me real slowly, but I got it, is that God has been careful to keep this thing intact. And when I saw that the major issues were all the same in all of the Bibles and all the translations, I realized who is in charge of this thing. Men have not been able to translate major things out of God's Word. No matter what they tried to do with it, or maybe they didn't even know what they were doing. That's a good possibility, isn't it? They didn't know what they were doing. And so, issues where Jesus is a man, 1 Timothy 2:5 and 4, they're in all of the translations. They're worded almost exactly like the King James is. You know what I'm saying? That's a major issue. Or did you allow men and demons to talk you out of it? Or only go by the parts that you liked? And that's what a lot of people do, see? Did you let false prophets introduce unscriptural things like the Trinity? And you bought it? Well, I bought it. Jesus told us that no man knows the Father except the Son, and whosoever the Son will reveal him. Is that what he said? Okay, then my question is this. God's Son, or the man Christ Jesus' Son? Which Son introduces the Father? And when I saw that scripture in John 1:18, it jumped out at me. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son. And if that is not a plain scripture, I'd like to know what. Now we know who we're talking about. The only begotten Son is in the bosom of the Father. And the only, in order to be begotten, it has to be born of a woman. Now we got a man. Somehow this man, Christ Jesus, is in the bosom of the Father. And so in Philippians 3:10, Paul wanted to know Christ as a man. And so we see baptism into a man, not a deity, in Romans 6. And in John 1:18, you know, we see the only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father. And whereas it says he declared or expresses or reveals, it says it calls him the express image of the invisible God. He reveals God to us. He shows, you know, he's the only one that can reveal God. And so, did not God set things up in such a way that the sinless man, Christ Jesus, I use the word there that makes all the difference. What was it? That the sinless man, Christ Jesus, that makes him different than any other man that's ever lived. Is man's only way so as to know the Father. So we have a man revealing deity. And from the scriptures, as soon as we change the identity of the Son, we begin to lose vital areas whereas God wants us to know him. And see, it is vitally necessary that we know God. However, to see the man Christ Jesus was also to see the Father, because he had developed the Father's divine nature. And to know the man Christ Jesus was also to know the Father. And that's what Jesus said. He says, if you would have known me, you would have known the Father also. And why? The Son had given himself over to the Father like God wants us to do. There was no separation between him and the Father. Adam separated himself. He sinned. He disobeyed God. But Jesus never did that. And so they became inseparable, the Father and the Son. And as the Word was God, and the Word also became Christ, and as such, if we be, you know, I have had some wrong concepts of the first chapter of John. And this morning, as I was listening to it, I thought, I think we're going to get a little bit better understanding. Because I said, no. It's talking about God came unto his own. And I thought, not necessarily. It was also Jesus coming unto his own, because by him God created all things. And I'm not sure. It is like we're sitting there trying to figure out when God, or when Jesus first appeared and when he came into being and so forth. And you know what? I think if we're just patient and let the Spirit work and let the words of the Bible reveal God to us, I think we're going to begin to understand a lot more things about Christ. I don't know that there's a lot of things that we need to know that are not, I don't know if there's anything we need to know that's not in the Word. I think it's all inclusive. And so, if we become that Word, and that Word becomes us, and I have the feeling that it is potentially possible that we can become the Word, won't we become partakers of God's divine nature? Isn't that what it says in 1 Peter and 2 Peter? And as such, then, we become partakers of God's divine nature, we become a relationship that we don't know. And see, that's what Christ was. That's what Christ is. And so we'll become, won't we become expressed images as well as partakers? Weren't the prophets kind of like that? What about Moses? Wasn't Moses an expressed image? Not to the same degree as Christ. Weren't the prophets expressed images? They expressed God's image. It appears that in several places, like Hebrews 1:8, that God himself refers to Christ as a God. However, in verse 9, see, that's in Hebrews 1:8, God refers to Christ as a God. Your throne is forever and ever, O God. And God is saying that. And then in verse 9, the next one, it says, he refers to himself as the God of Christ, and he refers to the anointing upon Christ with the oil of gladness above Christ's brethren. Do you see how tricky this gets? Do you see why we need the Holy Spirit? Do you see why you don't need me? You need God and somebody to teach? And so, I mean, we're his brethren. And so, is he a God or is he a man? Well, Jesus referred to God as his God and as his Father in John 20:17. And so Jesus is not some equal ruling deity, but rather a creation that God made into whatsoever God wanted him to be. Let the house of Israel know assuredly, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. As the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. I mean, where did all this come from? Who started it? In Acts 2:36, Peter said that God made Jesus, you know, Lord and Christ. And so both the Trinitarians and today's type of oneness portrays an eternal, all-powerful God. However, the scriptures reveal Christ as the second Adam, made by God into whatsoever he is, and he is totally obedient to the Father. Does that make a difference? Does that separate him from a co-equal God? And not born with authority and power, but given authority and power. That's what it says. And after the Son has subdued all things, he will turn the kingdom back over to the Father so that God might be all in all. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And see, by me taking in the Word of God for this long, I have discovered that most of the things I have been taught for all of these years was off kilter somewhere. I could hardly find anything that wasn't nutso somewhere. As such, I now wonder if maybe God has kept us almost totally by mercy and grace. And this is how many times I said that. I think that the whole church exists today by mercy and grace, not by any good thing that they know or believe, rather than much of anything good and right that, you know, they've done. As such, and according to God's word, if we don't know Christ as a man, 1 John 4:1-3, then I don't think we know him. We're starting to know him, but I don't think we can know him in some way that's wrong. And if we don't actually know Christ, then how can we know God, since a right understanding of Christ reveals God? Okay, I said that umpteen times in different ways today, but there's a new one, okay? He has seen me, or how about he that knows me, or if you would have known me, you know, you would have known the Father also. So whenever men go to a Bible study, they need to make sure the Holy Spirit is also at the Bible study. You know what I mean? You've got to make sure he's there. I, unfortunately, over the years, have been to a lot of Bible studies that I think the Holy Spirit stayed away from, and you know what? I don't blame them. men were so caught up in their own great enticing words of intelligence that it had to be an embarrassment to the Holy Spirit. See, over the years, doesn't the Bible say that the Spirit of God is meek? Or is that the word? Or easily grieved. Doesn't that say that?
Yes.
Something like that. And so anyway, over the years, I really never needed the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. I had some of the best leaders that were available. And of course, I was miserable and wretched and poor and blind and naked and never knew it. That's the Laodiceans. I was no different than the Laodiceans. I said, I'm rich and increased with goods. I have the best revelations and understanding of anybody around. Look at all the things that I know. But what I didn't know was my real condition. And like the Laodiceans, I never knew it. And what about the fundamentals that don't include the power part of receiving the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues? What is going to be their answer? By leaving out Isaiah 28 and Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, I mean, that's what's being left out. Men are left like an army without weapons. Is that right or wrong? We're left like an army without weapons. See, Paul tried to tell us in 2 Corinthians 10:4 that the weapons that we fight with are not carnal. He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. I have been slowly coming to the sad conclusion that the entire church system of today sits in darkness similar to the day when Christ was born. And I wonder, okay, I did have that in here, if Amos 8, 11, and 12 is not a major part of today's problem. Is it possible because men love the darknesses of their inherited doctrines and creeds and traditions that God has caused men to see God's holy word as lesser than their doctrines? And I'm going to say it again. And we went over to a lot of the plays and things that were done in a Lutheran church where the kids went to school, you know. And the school itself was good and so forth, except they tried desperately to get the little guys to say that there was a Trinity. And it was hard because Dominic says, I couldn't do it. He says, everything they had for me, they wanted me to say that something about the Trinity. He says, I shied away from it best I could. I got sick when I was supposed to be there, whatever. He did something wrong, different. But so anyway, the thing I noticed was the unopened thousands and thousands of Bibles sitting in the pews that are unopened. Nobody's ever opened them. People coming to service after, or whatever they were going, nobody ever carried a Bible. I mean, we didn't have one there either, but I mean, it's not, the Bible is not really the issue. The signs they have on the walls, and the creeds and the things, and what is in their little creed books. That's not the word. What is the word? It's not a creed book. It's a... What's the word, Charlie? Well, it's a statement of faith. There's a word for it. They have these little books. The creeds are in the book.
A catechism
book, yeah. And anyway, that's what they go by. And so I'm wondering if maybe because they love their inherited doctrines that God has not caused them to see his holy word as lesser than their doctrines, and as a result, God has brought a famine. And so there's a great famine of the actual hearing of God's words, what it says, or what God meant by what he said. And so men don't get it. And that is basically because they insist upon making it fit their false inherited doctrines. Been there, done that. God have mercy on me for the years that I spent trying to make his word of holy eternal truth fit the traditions and the doctrines of wherever I was. I tried to make it fit the Trinity. I tried to make it fit every place I've been. And so men wander here and they wander there, and look at the conventions. Wouldn't that be horrible if a You know, thousands of people went to a convention and spent all kinds of money to go halfway across the world, only to discover that what they're learning is not helping them anyway. Wouldn't that be kind of sad? It's the truth. That is what's happening. And men wander here and there, but God never allows them to find the truth of what God meant by what he said, because they're not actually open so as to receive. They don't have an ear to hear. And so let me bring an update. We are told that unless we become converted and become as little children. And a better picture is unless we set aside all of our preconceived theories and become little children, it won't do us any good. To benefit from conversion, men must start with a clean slate, so we can start with our, you know, a Holy Spirit kindergartens, and we can, you know, we can start right from scratch. And so as is, the Holy Spirit is useless to the church, as men in false theology try to get God to confirm their lies with science following. See, God is not mocked. Isn't that what it says? And so he will never confirm that which opposes it. Anyway, God bless you. And it's still working. But I will let you turn it off. I tried to today, and by the time I got done, I wasn't sure where it was.